Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Dear 2020, you have been a year of change. Change is never easy, even when we expect it. I know for me and my family, we came into 2020 expecting some different changes. We decided that God was calling us back to Texas and to stay, and so we knew there were going to be changes in that. And with anything, there are some unforeseen changes. And so when I think about change and moving through change like we've had this past year, I'm really reminded of the Israelites and of Joshua. And as the change of leadership from Moses to Joshua happened, there were things that they knew were going to be different because Joshua is not Moses. And they're moving from the land on the other side of the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And there's just going to be change. And so I'm encouraged by what Moses tells Joshua as he's beginning to transition into the time of change. And so I want to read for you Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And I think that's just fitting for us as we begin to close out 2020, as we begin to look at all the things that maybe we've had fear about, that we've been dismayed, to remember the Lord goes before us. He has gone before us this entire year, no matter the difficulty, no matter the strange circumstances that we found ourselves in. And even as we begin to look towards 2021, to remember that He has gone before us. We don't walk in any place that God hasn't already walked Himself and prepared the different trials, celebrations, frustrations, and joys for us to go and walk through. And so as we begin to reflect on those things that we've gone through this year, and as we move forward into 2021, my words to you, Heights Fellowship family, would be the same that Moses has given to Joshua. He won't leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. And so I pray that that would be a trumpeting call for you, a marching call to remember. We walk with the Lord and he has gone before us. And so 2020, even though you have been a year of change, we can be confident and secure that no change is greater than our God. He's not surprised. He's not overwhelmed. And so as his children, as his people, neither do we. He walks with us. He carries us and he goes with us. So 2021, I hope you're better.
Dear 2020, you're sneaky. You pitched yourself as visionary. I mean, who doesn't want to have 2020 sight, right? But right now, we're kind of weary of seeing you. You know, maybe hindsight really is better. I mean, I can't think of anything better than to see you in my rearview mirror. You had a name on the back of your jersey that said unprecedented, but your game was uncertainty. Take the known and take no prisoners. And here's the deal, 2020, you made me feel uncertain. And it didn't take you very long either. I mean, 3 days in, you gave me a heart attack and blew up my January. And all the very carefully scheduled calendar suddenly got shoved aside. And little did I know, that was just a taste of what you're going to bring. Your stuff, 2020, has been received kind of like a vegan dish at a barbecue. And then I realized you weren't really giving, you were taking. You changed our schedules and our schools. You changed the way we work and the way we worship. And there was no real escaping your effect. You were everywhere and in everything. And every time we breathe through a mask, we have to acknowledge that. We couldn't avoid home by going to work, and we couldn't avoid work by staying at home. We couldn't even go on a trip and get away from it all. You stole our vacations, our graduations, our celebrations. And you gave us isolation. I heard really good, positive people say this: what's the point in planning? We're not going to do this anyway. You affected all of our systems and made us pivot and pirouette like a ballerina on crack. It became, and it is, week to week and even day to day. And then you played your whole card. You and your crappy little brother COVID began to take life. It wasn't just a few isolated, compromised people trailing on the fringes of the herd. You took down people all over the place, the young, the strong, the aged, the average, everyone. No one has escaped you. Count on nothing. That's what you wanted us to do. And that's really where you wanted our souls to be, Nowheresville. You are the halitosis of years. But the truth is that truth trumps uncertainty. More specifically, God's truth is greater. It's better than the way you made me feel, 2020. I keep going back to that verse in Hebrews 6 where he says, we have this confidence as sure and strong as an anchor for our souls. This confidence goes into the very holy place of God where Christ went before us on our behalf. You know, 2020, you're a plagiarizer. You're not even original. The one who created time told us 2020 years ago that this life of ours is but a vapor. The eternal one told us mortal ones that we've never really known what tomorrow will bring or what our lives will be like. So you see, 2020, your jersey may say unprecedented and you may traffic in uncertainty, but there is one greater than you and he's unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is certain. His plan is on track and we are on his path. Do you remember what he told Daniel? That he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. You see, 2020, you're like that smell in the boys' locker room. You may linger, but you won't last. The church made the shift because the church follows him, not you. It was never about our schedules or about our structures. It was never about our services or our traditions. You moved 2020 and he was already there. And he gave us wisdom and knowledge and understanding.
You tried to limit us, and He launched us into living rooms and places we've never even been. We get to bring a message to people we've never even met, to children and to youth and adults. So let's be honest, 2020. It's not about you. You're just time. And God used you to shake this world, and hopefully He has awakened us to what is real and what really matters. Because one thing we know, He is certain, 2020. So see you, 2020. Wouldn't want to be you. With love and affection, not Mike Martindale.
Dear 2020, you have emphasized some of my greatest losses. And some of my greatest losses actually started back in November of 2018. When my great nephew, 2.5 years old, was found dead. The grief process began then. September 2019, my mother-in-law passed away. And then just this past December, I lost my dad. So going into 2020, I was already in a state of grief, a state of loss. And then March hits with COVID. And all that that means. And so it became, for me, more of an emphasis of what I'd already lost. And what began piling on at that point was missed relational connection. Those people that I like being around, that I want to be around, I couldn't be around. I had to postpone needed travel, things to get away, to actually recharge and energize. I couldn't do that. I had to adjust my routine, which we all like our routine. We all like our schedules. And even planning became difficult because adjustments had to be made. I was challenged with losing my comfort. Those things that were easy, those things I was used to, became a huge challenge to hang on to that. My peace overall was disrupted because I didn't know what was next. What were we going to have to deal with next in our life that this totally was chaotic and disruptive? And of course, for me, most of all, I lost Texas Tech baseball in March. But all of these things, I think we can overcome because 2020, to say the least, was overwhelming. But I also believe that we serve and follow a God that is overcoming in the midst of our loss. And I want to share with you today a psalm that I've depended on, that I want to encourage you to go to as you deal with the losses in your own life. So how can we overcome the losses of 2020? I think Psalms 34 actually gives us some direction in dealing with those losses that we encounter. We can begin with praising God for who He is and what He has done. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so we can start with praising for what God has already done for us and what we know He is trustworthy to do moving forward. And we can depend on God to deliver us from our fears, those things that make us afraid. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. We can depend on that. And in verse 8, he goes on to say, Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. So we can consider ourselves blessed to take refuge in His goodness. Not our negativity, not our loss, and not what we've lost in our lives, but what yet that blessing that can only be provided in His refuge. In verse 14 goes on, we can run from the chaos and seek His peace and continue in pursuing His peace. The verse actually says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and then pursue it. And I think that's a challenge to us, is not only to seek it, but to continue to pursue it. Verse 15,
reminds us that God listens to us, that we can feel His attention as He listens to our cries. The verse says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. So knowing that we have God's attention as we speak to Him, as we communicate how the emotions of our life are controlling us sometimes, that He's right there listening to us. He understands. He knows. We can sense His presence as our hearts are broken and our spirits crushed. Verse 18 of Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, often during this 2020 year, we felt brokenhearted, whether it's because of loss or some other circumstance in this chaotic time of our life. But we can depend on His presence being with us. He's near to where we are. And then ultimately, He ends that psalm by saying, we who serve Him can count on His redemption. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. That we can depend on. We can be redeemed from our circumstances of loss during this time. And as we move into 2021, join me in acknowledging that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit by implementing this power and believing the truth of God's word and obeying it. We can overcome our greatest losses and turn them into victories.
Dear 2020, you revealed some messy parts of my heart. Malachi 3:3 talks about God being like one who refines silver and gold by placing it in the fire. He holds it in the fire just long enough to burn away the impurities. 2020 placed us in the refiner's fire. There are some things in our lives that needed to be burned away so we can become the men and women God created us to be. I don't know that I'm out of the fire yet, and my prayer is that God would hold me there as long as it takes so I can learn what He wants me to learn and so I can look more like Jesus on the other side of all this. I have a very driven personality. Brandon says that I have no chill. I like to go. I like to do. I like to be efficient and productive, and I find myself constantly striving, and it can be exhausting. Early on when things shut down, I read a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I thought it was a fascinating title because I had no need to hurry off to do anything or go anywhere, but I realized I didn't know how to slow down and rest. God commands us to rest, but this command is the only one I know of that we almost brag about breaking. How are you? Staying busy. What'd you do this weekend? I was so busy. We had this and that to do and went here and there, and I still have all of this to do. Our society applauds that lifestyle. We believe the hustle is what will bring success. We are so busy and so distracted and so addicted to the hustle, and our souls are suffering. This is an area of my life that I'm working on, but I haven't quite figured it all out. Even though I don't have all the answers, I know that there is destruction and a real lack of peace when I disobey God's command to rest. If we want the full life that Jesus promises, we have to develop some rhythms that will involve daily, weekly, and maybe yearly times to stop and delight in the world, in the lives God has given us, and above all, in God Himself. If you constantly find yourself striving and exhausted like I do, maybe it's time for you to explore this idea too. I can point you to three resources as a good place to start, and I've already mentioned one, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer, Rhythms of Renewal by Rebecca Lyons, and Sacred Rest by Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. And you may be thinking, I don't have time for that. I know that obedience comes with a cost, but you get back far more than you give up. Jesus tells us in Luke 9:23 to take up our cross daily and follow Him. When there's a cross, that means death to something. And in this case, maybe it means death to things in our schedule that don't have eternal value. But we have to remember when it comes to the ways of Jesus, death is always followed by a resurrection. What could God bring to life if we learned to rest? Another area where I feel like God is refining me is my fear of failure. And 2020 brought me a lot of new opportunities to fail. I've never had to do children's ministry online. I had no idea what I was doing. And I kept thinking, God, what if I mess up and all of these kids' faith is messed up? I never imagined having to homeschool my own kids. And many days I felt like a total parenting failure. How many times did we look at social media and see people working out or deep cleaning their houses and we felt like a failure because the only thing we had to look forward to was what we would eat next and the only thing we accomplished was finishing Netflix. But then I had this realization, Jesus had to come because we are failures. We have a sin problem that is impossible to fix on our own, and every time we try, we will fail. We are desperate for Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were deep in our sin, deep in our failure, Christ died for us. Before we could do anything to earn God's love and grace through our performance or accomplishments, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. So I'm learning not to be afraid of failure. When I fail, I'll fail forward, right into the arms of the one who saved me. 2020 revealed some messy places of my heart, including the fact that I created for myself some idols to worship. We don't make idols like they did in the Bible, like the time the Israelites melted their jewelry to make a golden calf to worship. I don't have idols made out of gold or wood set up in my house, but I found myself worshiping my love of comfort. I like my schedule and my plans, and I was shocked at how quickly my joy and peace disappeared when those were disrupted. Kenneth Boa lists these questions to help us identify false gods in our lives. I encourage you to think through these at home today. What am I most afraid of? Where do I run for comfort? What do I complain about most? What makes me happiest? What do I brag about? What do I want to have more than anything else? Who or what do I sacrifice the most for in my life? Isaiah 44:6-8 says, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. No idol we create sustains us when everything falls apart. No idol we create gives us peace in chaos. No idol we create gives us life. There is no one like our God. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, Brandon tested positive for coronavirus. Our kids and I tested positive just a few days later. And I started that quarantine with a great attitude. I worked hard to make it fun and to set a positive tone for my family. But it only took a few days for the fun express to derail. And I felt like I was going crazy because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't achieve anything. I was relying on other people to take care of us and to do my job. And my family certainly didn't think I was awesome. So needless to say, those messy parts of my heart were very evident. Then one night, as I was sitting by the fire, I came across a worship video that Natalie Grant and her family posted. They sang, old things have passed away, but your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. And I felt God speak to me very clearly in that moment. Joy, am I enough for you? Even if 2021 isn't better than 2020, will you adore me? Dear 2020, you revealed some messy parts of my heart, but I serve a God that I adore, and he promises that he will complete the work he started in my life.
Dear 2020, you made me doubt whether or not I have enough faith. I know that our world is chaotic right now, So much has changed so quickly. Many of us have anxiety and uncertainty about when, if ever, things are going to go back to the normal that we want. A lot of us have frustrations about what our future looks like. But in the midst of the mess, I really believe that God is doing something new. Now, I've spent a lot of 2020 learning and thinking about what does the future of the church and the future of the mission of God look like in our changing world. And even though going forward, I still have way more questions than answers, I genuinely believe that God is doing something new. And that should be exciting for us because all of us want to be a part of what God is doing. We want to be involved in what God is doing, especially when it's a new thing, like a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity. But where I have struggled in 2020 is not with whether or not God is doing a new thing. It's, am I equipped enough in the right areas to be involved in what God is doing? And even more than that, honestly, I'm not sure I have enough faith to be on the front lines of what God is doing. But I can tell you this, that I want to have enough faith for God to use me to be a part of the incredible things he's going to do. I just struggle with, do I really have enough faith? Is my faith strong enough? Is it intense enough for God to use me to be a part of what he's doing? And if you felt this way at all, if you have felt like your faith isn't enough, I'm sure you're wondering, like, what the heck am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do going forward? And I understand that this issue is complicated and talking about faith is very nuanced and difficult, and I don't want to oversimplify anything. But I think that looking back on 2020 and looking forward to 2021, one of the things about faith that we have got to remember is it will never be perfect. And God is not asking for our faith to be perfect. He doesn't even ask us to hide our doubts about our faith. And one of the most beautiful places that we see this is when Jesus has an interaction with the Father who desperately wants his son to be healed, but he also has doubts about whether or not Jesus can heal his son. And so Jesus has been away with some of his disciples, and he comes back to the main group, and he notices that there's an argument. And this is in Mark chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. And he asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." It sounds like something out of a scary movie, right? A guy comes with this son who is possessed by an evil spirit. He's being hurt by this evil spirit, and the people that are supposed to be able to help him can't. And so he has some doubts. One thing was for sure is that he probably was not too hopeful after the disciples of Jesus are not able to drive out this evil spirit. He has doubts. He's probably left wondering, is my faith not strong enough to help my son? And so Jesus asks for the boy to be brought to him. And in Mark 9, 20 through 22, they bring the boy to Jesus. When the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. "From childhood," he said, "and many times it has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This guy is face to face with Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, Emmanuel, God with us. And he looks at him and says, "If you are able to do anything." There's a lot of doubt behind that question. Most of us don't express our doubt like that to Jesus. we hide it, we suppress it because we think he's going to be angry at us or he's not going to work on our behalf if we have any doubt present, but not this dad. I love the realness of this moment because how could you not have at least some doubt when the disciples of Jesus have not been able to heal your son and you desperately want this? How could you not have some doubt? And so Jesus says to him, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Now, if it were me, if Jesus would have said that to me, I think I would have changed my tone very quickly. I didn't mean to say if. I'm sorry about that. I know you can do it. Please help my son. But this father who wants his son healed further expresses his honest doubt. He has faith, but doubt is there with it. And the father says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. It's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I do believe, but I don't. I want to believe this, but I still have doubts. I want to have faith, but I'm not sure that it's enough. I'm not sure that the faith that I have is strong enough or intense enough. And I know that many of you are familiar with that tug of war. We have been stuck somewhere between unbelief and belief, and many of us have been left wondering whether or not our faith is enough. And what I love about this story is that Jesus doesn't tell the Father, you need more faith. Your faith needs to be stronger. It needs to be unwavering. It needs to be without any doubt. Jesus just heals this father's son. He meets the father right where he is at, and he heals his son. And the life-giving truth from this story is the smallest amount of faith can move a mountain of doubt. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 17 when he says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. See, the only reason that the smallest amount of faith is greater than a mountain of doubt is because it is not the strength or the intensity or the amount of faith that you have that makes the mountain move. It is the object of your faith that makes the mountain move. God is not asking for your faith to be perfect. He isn't asking you to have a stronger or more intense faith. He is asking you to place your faith in Jesus, the one who is perfect, the one who is intense enough and strong enough. And here's why that's so encouraging to me and why it should be encouraging to you is because God wants you to come to him just as you are. Even if all you have seems woefully inadequate, even if all we can say is, God, I believe, but I don't believe, that's enough. So, dear 2020, you made me wonder if my faith is enough, but I realized as well, that's the wrong question. I should not be asking, is my faith strong enough? The only thing I need to be worried about is keeping my eyes on Jesus, the object of our faith, because he is always enough.
And I hope that you were blessed. I hope that somehow in what was said and done here today, that you found some meaning in the mess. That was our intention, and that's our desire. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Let me just remind you of this one thing. This is our last Sunday to meet together in 2020. And as we typically find at the end of the year, there is a lot of question about, hey, what about year-end giving? Can I still get it in? Yes, you can. You can do it online. You can do your giving online. Or we will have people here at the office until the 30th of December. And you can, if you'll give us a holler, bring it by. We'll meet you. We'll receive that. And we'll thank you guys in advance for that. We appreciate your faithfulness. We encourage you to continue to be that way because God has moved in the middle of this mess to bring meaning to a lot of lives. So thank you guys for your continuation in doing that. Now, before we go, we have something from our resident Bard. I mean, only somebody named Jim Bob could write the song that you're about to hear. And we hope it encourages you as we go out the door. So, Jim Bob, take it away, man.
Dear 2020, you've been good to me. From the West Coast fires to the White House hires to the quarantine. Dear 2020, you had so much to give. Well, I'm an optimist, but I might have cussed because I'm positive. You didn't leave a bad taste in my mouth. You left me with no taste at all. I wanna break up and I know just how. I'll do it through a Zoom call. Dear 2020, you turned me upside down. With the Cowboys year, I've been forced to cheer for the Cleveland Browns. Dear 2020, is it too much to ask for you to read my lips? But the problem is this stupid mask. You didn't leave a bad taste in my mouth. You left me with no taste at all. I wanna break up and I know just how. I'll do it through a Zoom call. Dear 2021, I look forward to meeting you. My toilet paper stored from the roof to floor, we'll make it through. Dear 2021, as I look into your eyes, I hate to ask you this, but now the question is, should I immunize? Last year was such a bad relationship. I left my heart 6 feet away. If New Year's Eve is like a diving board, I've got advice for you today. Jump! Might as well jump. Jump! Go ahead, jump. We'll miss you, Eddie. I say jump! Might as well jump. Go ahead, jump. Might as well jump. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.